Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Mike Vrabel on this show on a Patriots Monday, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with six New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF FDIC. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Nice win on the road.
Oh, thank you.
Back-to-back wins on the road, and three in a row. First time in a while here.
Well, it was a good win. It was, you know, the ebbs and the flows of the game, and I was proud of the way we finished it. We made some big plays when we had to.
No victory shot formation on this show this morning.
We didn't do it last week, but. Were we on the radio last week?
Were we on the phone?
I called in. Yeah, I tried to get that this morning, and Stacy said I can't do that.
Oh, he did. Okay. Well, Stacey. Actually, it's probably the right way to go, though, because we didn't do it last week, and you end up winning that game. So I know.
I actually walked down here. I started walking down. He's like, it's on your phone. And I was like, well, I don't know. I just was assuming I was going to come down and see you guys last week. Yeah. I didn't see you. Yeah.
No, we're delighted to see you in person today.
Last Monday, I asked you about coming off such a high, a Sunday Night Football win over the Bills, how you keep the guys' head in the game going into now another road game against the Saints. You said we won't have an issue, and you didn't. Listening to guys all week, Steph Diggs being one of them, Pop Douglas, saying, you know, this week is just as important, if not, than last week. Is that something that you have to put in those guys' heads, or are they just that type of player?
Well, I try to. You know, I try to. I think just you have to validate everything you do in this league, and the next week becomes bigger, and that's kind of how it has to be. There's another team waiting. It's tough in this league. You can see that if you don't play well, that you have no chance to win, and it's difficult. And people just assume that it's not, and it's, you know, you have to go out there and play well. And we did at times yesterday that we did more times probably than not. But I think the good thing is there's a lot of things that we can improve on. There's a lot of things that we can clean up.
Mike, the one thing that I really liked is the never being satisfied. And, like, how do you make sure that the guys actually believe it, buy into it, so where it becomes part of every day that they come to this building, they're always looking to improve on something and never be satisfied, even when they see good results.
Right. And I think that there's just by staying consistent and not allowing for the complacency, we have to have great urgency when we come in here. It's a new challenge. Try to give them things to work on, try to look, you know, show them the good, the bad, and the stuff that gets us beat, and continue to stay consistent after a win or a loss, and just make sure that the urgency and the way that we prepare, you know, each and every week is the same.
Mike, Drake May has been spectacular. Absolutely, almost, you could say, relatively perfect game yesterday. I'm sure there were some mistakes that I missed. But who do you credit the most for that, and how would you describe his relationship with Josh McDaniels?
Well, I would say that the credit goes to Drake. That's what it all of these go to. It's not going to go to anybody other than the player that's doing that and improving and understanding and making the plays. His ability to throw off platform and extend and keep his eyes downfield. You know, there were some things that we asked him to work on that Josh and Ashton asked him to work on coming out of Buffalo. I felt like he tried to do that. And then when he had to extend, have the ability to extend. But you know, I think that's when quarterbacks can feel the rush, but also see downfield and see things develop, that can be deadly. Just it's hard to defend that. As opposed to guys that they drop down, their eyes go down to the rush. Now they can't see guys open up and come free on the third level. So I think his receivers, I think he trusts those guys. I think he trusts to spread it around. I think he, doesn't mind, giving them a chance and putting it in some place where they can get it. And so I think that's a great combination between Drake's personal development and trust in the receivers.
When you were thinking about taking this job,
and I think the relationship, you talked about Josh, I think the relationship is great. I think, we have a young quarterback coach that we feel very strongly about in Ashton Grant. And I think he serves a different purpose than Josh. Josh has one relationship with the quarterbacks, and I think Ashton has another, and I think that's a good dynamic. I think Josh continues to put things on their plate, and especially Drake, and give him things to look for, look at, and continue to develop.
When you were thinking about taking this job, obviously you look at the quarterback, among other things. Has he exceeded your expectation so far?
I don't know. If I had any expectations coming in, I just think that I was excited to be able to work with a very good, young, dynamic quarterback with a great attitude and a great spirit and a great energy about him.
You talk about his confidence and comfortability with his receivers. Obviously, that's the case with Booty. Yesterday, great game for him. He already has half the yards that he had last season. What do you think plays into the confidence that Drake now has with Booty and vice versa?
Well, I think it goes back to training camp. I think it goes back to those reps that they put in training camp where they can draw on and they can say, this is, how we did this versus this specific coverage or this specific look. I think that's where any of the things that we do as a football team would come back to. Hopefully to the practice field where we gained some confidence or we corrected some things, and then we were able to go out there and do it during the game.
And I would say shout out my boy Todd Downing because he's doing a great job, the wide receiver coach with those guys. And the one thing I love about the wide receiver position.
Does he admit to coaching you? Or?
Oh, yeah. Todd's my guy. Listen, I got a number of great things to say. I was with him in Minnesota.
That's funny that I've heard you mention Todd Downing's name more than I've heard Todd Downing mention your name. Well,
we got maybe give him a little nudge. He'll let you know. But
I'll have to pull your picture up. This guy right here. Remember him?
Hopefully you won't have to do that. Hopefully you remember. But the one thing I will say about this wide receiver group, we get a chance to talk to Pop Douglas on Fridays. And there's no, selfishness from this wide receiver group. So when Courtney brings up Booty or we talk about Diggs and one guy having a great game one week and then maybe doesn't get as many targets, I think a lot of that has to do with a coach getting guys to buy into that, and especially at the wide receiver position. You know how those guys can be.
How can they be, Wiggy?
Sometimes they can be like, damn, when am I getting the damn ball?
I understand that, and I do appreciate that, and I try to tell them that, mm-hmm. that their efforts don't go unnoticed, whether that's how they play without the football, whether that's running a route that may clear somebody out and open up a second window, or their ability to extend a play and block somebody, or their ability to get open and catch the ball and make a critical play. So I think that they have understood the fact that if they keep working and they keep getting open, their quarterback's going to be able to find them. And then, it's kind of been a different guy each week.
I'm not trying to get you in a position where you say something that costs you money, but the takeaway from me outside of the brilliant performance by your players was the absolute inept performance by that refereeing crew. It was an abomination. It was horrible to watch. And I mean, the touchdown that was negated by a penalty that was called 5 minutes late at a position on the field that had nothing to do with the catch that negated the touchdown that Pop Douglas had was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. How can they fix this? How can they?
I got a tough enough job to coach this football team.
Yeah, could you go fix that in the offseason?
I mean, there's not much. It becomes comical at a point. Yeah, they send these videos out every week, and they do a great job. Walt Anderson does a great job. Ramon George does a great job, and they send these videos out. And of course, me and Stretch, we hang on to every word. And then I'll see something during the game. I'm like, did they even watch the video? Like, what? Like me and Stretch, we're pausing it, rewinding it. We're like, oh, I love these videos. And then I'm like, hey, did you watch the video last week? Like, they talked about this exact thing.
It's like they just sent them out without watching them.
Me and Stretch watch them.
After your second challenge, you had like an extended conversation with the refs on the sideline. What was going on?
Just to make sure that it would go down, you know, I mean, that they would start the clock, they would put it at 40, and that they would wind it so that we could get to the 2-minute warning.
Mike, one of the things that we've been able to glean from your coaching style is the fact that you want these guys to be themselves, to have fun when it comes to winning, to enjoy the winning. Where does that come from you as a coach?
Probably because sometimes you lose sight of how hard it is to win and the effort that we put in. And I want them to have a good time. And we talk about that enthusiasm or discipline can't be the barrier to enthusiasm. We have to be disciplined, but we can still have fun and we can still enjoy it. We still have to show up on time. We have to be where we're supposed to be. We have to do the little things. We have to hold people accountable. We have to practice hard. We have to condition all these things. But I mean, I think that there's a sense of having fun and enjoying what you do, where you do it and who you get to do it with.
Steph Diggs had his personal chef cook a meal for the O-line last week. Is he had him cook for you? Yeah.
No, not yet. Okay. But it sounded like it was a heck of a dinner.
Yeah. Well, sounds good.
To pick whatever they wanted.
Yeah. Greg, are you?
Me and Wiggy ain't been missing too many meals though. We got our own chef.
Same over here.
My chef's called takeout.
I know you never like to make it about yourself, but obviously with Tennessee up next, is this week any different for you at all? Does it feel any different?
Well, I think it's going to feel different. It can't be different. It has to be, you know, the way we prepare, the way that we try to put together a game plan. But, I mean, I think it's going to, we have to recognize the obvious. I mean, haven't spent time there. And so a lot of people on the other side that I know that have coached or worked with.
Mike, one of the things, there was another thing I saw, and, you know, obviously I'm an offensive guy, and so getting in the mind of a defensive player when they're punching out the ball, tackling a guy. You had two opportunities yesterday where you guys did that. How do you coach a guy to be able to do that and still focus on the tackle?
Well, it's, I think, understanding where those opportunities are. And we've gotten better at it. We've coached it. I think the players have started to really recognize it and embrace it and say, you know, we showed Anthony and Harold coming in on Josh Allen, and Anthony's within inches as Josh is switching the ball. And we said, this is, just keep doing this, and trust me, it's going to come out. And, you know, it starts with Woodsy on the catch, and that could have been another one that could have easily been a catch fumble, and just probably looking at where the game was and the risk reward of what are they going to do? We're going to get the football. And I just know how critical those timeouts are and those challenges are down the stretch. So we decided not to challenge, even though it was, I think, 1, 2, 3, hammer, ball out, clear recovery. But they're starting to get excited about it. They're starting to recognize it. Christian Ellis, you know, he's like, that ball's out, you know. And so you want to try to continue to just sensationalize those efforts of the attempts. Mm. You know, if you can just keep logging attempts, that the ball is going
to
come out.
And that was a critical one, the Ellis one, because even though you guys weren't able to take advantage and score points, you eliminated a possession for New Orleans.
Absolutely. Every turnover is going to be huge. Yeah. And you know, whether we capitalize on it, which hopefully we do, but it's also not giving them the chance to go down and move the football.
Mike, the the moment that a lot of us thought of you potentially having the job you have with the Patriots came at halftime when you were inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. You made comments about how people here need to know how good they have it with the Crafts and with the coaches and with everybody. Did that cause issues when you were with Tennessee? Was that something that irked the people you worked for?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the owner. I know losing irked the owner, or losing irked me. So, like John Cooper used to say, Ohio State winning takes care of everything, and we didn't win enough games in Tennessee.
Have you learned the celebration dance yet? The celebration dance is kind of taking off for your players.
You'd have to show me.
It's like, yeah. It's this.
Oh, yeah, thing. I got. Yeah, we got that. Me and Daisy got that. Yeah. That's not a dance. That's not a dance.
No, it's taking off.
You don't need much rhythm to do that.
I was going
to
say.
The Uber was going when Greg ate dinner.
These guys have been making fun of me on my travel over the weekend.
Did you have a good time at the wedding?
Yeah, it was great. It was a great wedding. You know John Dooley? That's John Dooley got married. Remember John Dooley from Echo Store?
John Dooley?
Yeah, back in the day. Got married.
Old
beautiful.
Wet. Yeah, second wedding?
No, first one. Oh. He's like 50, whatever. I mean, you know, you find love, you find love. You know how that goes.
Wait till you're 50. Would you have gotten married at 50?
No. I mean, I might, in case anybody's listening, but you never know. All right.
Good
coach. It's great. Great. Great to see you. Go get him this week. All right. That is Mike Vrabel, head coach of the New England Patriots.
All right, so
now we can do our victory shot, victory formation.
All right.
This is
cayenne pepper.
You love these.
Lose weight.
So this is Pure Green. We should have them sponsor your segment. So Pure Green, wake up! It's a wake me up shot. All right, congratulations. Cheers. On a win.
Wake Cheers. Me up shot.
Always a pleasure, brother.
All right, go get him, coach.
Snow Corvus.
It's like that. That's like that Hennessy used to make me do.
You know what they say? Once you go brown, you're about to get down.
Did Wiggy used to make you do Tennessee?
No. I didn't make Vrabel do anything. Believe that. He's capping right now. Don't let him fool you.
All right. That's Mike Vrabel and the conversation with the coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. And here now is Courtney with What is Trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Pats beat the Saints on the road 25-19. The final, Drake May completed 18 of 26 passes for 261 yards and 3 touchdowns while also leading the team in rushing, keeping the ball 9 times for 28 yards. It's a Patriots Monday. We were just joined by Mike Vrabel. If you missed that, you can listen to it on the Odyssey app. And the stat of the week, which is brought to you by Gillette, it's got to be the first 3-game win streak since 2022, and it's the first time winning 3 straight road games since 2021. So I know you both had different years. I think that's what you guys were talking about earlier.
Okay.
Gillette's best shave is now the best a fan can get. Get it while you can at Gillette.com/NFL. The Chiefs won last night over the Lions, final 30-17. Monday Night Football will see Bills at Falcons at 7:15 and then Bears at Commanders at 8:15. In college football, Penn State fired James Franklin over the weekend after a 3-3 start. BC got pummeled on Saturday. Clemson beat them 41-10. And the Bruins are home for a matinee game today. They have the Lightning at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 1.
James Franklin walking away with $49 million that they owe him.
Not bad.
We call that a wife.
That's a pretty good situation. Yeah. If you get fired, you walk away with $49 million. Not so bad.
And you know what's going to be crazy is he's probably going to get another job relatively quickly.
Why would you? $49 million?
But wouldn't the school not have to pay?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that works. Yeah, I don't
know. Take that 49, sit on your couch, enjoy your family, call it a day.
But some people, Courtney, it's just they've been coaching so long, it's difficult to just sit at home and do that, you know?
Yep.
All right, it's Patriots Monday. Boomer Esiason will join us at 9 this morning. Before that, though, we will get to Courtney and today's news coming up next. By the way, there is a pretty horrific crime that occurred in Worcester over the weekend, and Shime is the prime suspect.
Correct.
So we will get to that and the rest of the news coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of Drake May, let's go to the phone lines to talk with the Patriots quarterback on a Patriots Monday. Drake May on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with six New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Windward Mental Health, start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Drake May, how we doing this week after another big road win?
What's going on? Doing pretty well. I'm Sean.
Is it safe to say this is getting kind of fun? That post-game locker room with Coach Vrabel turning it up in there and you guys flying home on a fun flight? Like, winning streak's got to be a lot of fun after all the work you guys put in.
Yeah, no doubt. I think winning in this league is always something you got to enjoy. You know, it's tough to do in this league, and especially stringing a couple of rows in a row together, so we got to try to keep it going and learn from the wins and move on for next week.
Drake, I'm not sure exactly what the game planning looked like last week coming off of Buffalo getting ready for New Orleans and the Brandon Staley defense, but I can't imagine that you gripping it and ripping it and throwing multiple 50-plus yard passes was in the game plan. Did you see something heading into yesterday, or was that just sort of how the game and the script presented themselves, and then you had the moxie to let him fly and hit him on the run?
Yeah, I think those are always in the game plan. I think sometimes you hit them, and sometimes you know, looks not there. So just kind of stay off the reads and know that when they are there, let it rip. And those guys made great plays and great catches.
Obviously, not all of them counted, and we'll get to some of that later. The officiating and things wiped out, but you dropped a number of those 50-yard type passes right in the hands of your receiver. And we, as viewers, kind of have to watch it play out on our screen, and then we see it hit the hands. When you release those balls, like, do you know it's a good ball the second that it leaves your hand?
Yeah, it gives you a pretty good idea on kind of where you want to throw it and where it ends up. Sometimes you get tackled and you get hit and you don't know exactly, you know, where it lands. So you got to watch the replay on the big screen. But no, those guys, the one that Stephanie made a great play, I think it was a questionable call. And then, Pop, that one was pretty simple. He was open deep. And then the one that Mac, I wish I would have back. I mean, to put it a little more inside, kind of in play, to give him a better chance. But no, those guys are fun to throw too deep. And I think it's one thing that I enjoy.
So, obviously, yesterday looked like it was going to be a two-touchdown day for Pop. Turns out to be a double-tutty day for Kayshon Boutte, who said after the game that he's done a lot of growing up over the last couple of years, got rid of some character concerns, and he's becoming more the man that he wants to be. Have you noticed a change and a maturation in him since you've been here?
Yeah, I think I appreciate, you know, self-awareness from him saying that. I think that goes a long way. Yeah, he seems to do the right stuff and take coaching and ask me questions, and he's one of the first guys that's going to be honest with me if what I'm saying doesn't make sense. So he's great at giving me feedback and asking him what he sees, and just keeps on going, making contested catches in big time.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here with us on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. I was listening to Coach Vrabel talk about your relationship with Josh McDaniels, something we've talked about. Seems like a very good and now very productive relationship. But he also brought up your quarterback coach, Ashton Grant. And I'm wondering, he mentioned that relationship is different than probably the one you have with Josh. What is that relationship like with Ashton Grant, and what does he do for you on a weekly basis?
Yeah, he's great. He's the one... he's the one on that is always kind of laughing and making jokes, that can make better throws, or he's always, I think, you know, the big thing to him is during the week, he's the one that we try to, get a preview of what is third down or red zone, and we try to, see at the same page. So it's cool, spending time with him in the quarterback room, separate from Coach McDaniels, and just seeing his thoughts on things, and I think we see football the same way, and I appreciate you know, what he's done for me and how he's still cracking jokes when I could have let go a couple more deep balls. But, no, he's very positive, and I appreciate having him in the room. He's been great.
Drake, how flattering is it to hear people say that you are in the conversation for, if not emerging as potentially the best quarterback of the excellent 2024 draft class, or that now just, you know, 18 starts into your career, a third of the way into your second season, that you belong in the NFL MVP conversation?
Oh, shoot. No, I got a lot of work to do. I think that's a long way away. I think, you know, getting some more wins is what I'm focused on. And the big thing with that is starting next week in Tennessee. So that's what I'm focused on. And I think that stuff all comes, you know, to life when you start winning games and keep making plays.
Coach Vrabel, in that post-game video on Patriots.com, brought up the idea that he senses that you guys aren't satisfied, that you're winning games, but you're all seeing, before you're even told by coaches, what needs to be better. I think you actually referenced that post-game on the field when you said, you know, the defense picked you guys up. Are you seeing that in your teammates, your offense, the people around you, that, yeah, they'll celebrate the win, but everybody's aware of what needs to be better? And is that a maturing you're seeing around you in this football team?
Yeah, I think it's good to see. I think it's good, but also at the same time, it's good to enjoy the wins in this league. I think it's tough to come after a win and be disappointed, but I think it's good for the guys to see that. We still have, you know, more stuff to put on tape and better football to show. I think defensively, the way they made adjustments out of halftime was huge for us. And offensively, I thought we could have put the game away and had some chances too. You know, the defense forced some punts. So that's what I kind of look at and feel like. And your coach was funny reminding us that that's what coaching was for. And we just enjoy wins and have fun playing out there.
Drake, when you hear guys like Milton Williams say that they were sick, he had a fever over 100 on Saturday reportedly, then had to get an IV just so he could find his way out into the field. He gets out there, grinds it out, has another great game, plays really tough. Does that inspire you guys to try to reach in and find another level yourselves?
Yeah, I think that's always pretty cool when, you know, guys are fighting through a little injuries or a little sickness to be out there and the other teammates that go the long way. And especially the way he's been playing this year, it's a good feeling having, you know, 97 out there rushing the passer and out there with the defense. So it's pretty sweet that guys are starting to, you know, buy into the identity and playing hard and finishing longer. So it's pretty cool.
If we were going to nitpick a little bit offensively and what you guys can do better, I think we could all agree running the ball would be something that would help balance out the offense. Do you feel like you guys are close there? Obviously, you get as good a vantage point on that as anybody. Is it coming? Is Josh McDaniels told us patience earlier in the week? So what do you see going on there?
I think we're close. I think just the guys and, you know, just the one guy beating the guy over the top on the outside zone stuff, or the one guy, you know, sticking out his arm and making the tackle and tripping up the running back. We're close. I think those guys are doing a great job in the passing game. I think these runs, you know, started hitting big for us, and it's going to be refreshing, you know, seeing that, you know, some of the big runs and me just chasing the pile. It'd be pretty cool.
I imagine you guys had a pretty solid week of practice coming off the huge win with Buffalo, making sure that you guys didn't ride into a letdown game in New Orleans. And now you guys will be preparing for another emotionally charged game, returning to where Mike Vrabel used to coach in Tennessee. I'm not sure if you heard, but about 20 minutes ago, Drake, it was announced that the Tennessee Titans let their head coach Brian Callahan go. So it should be quite the environment for you guys. Are you expecting an emotional Mike Vrabel and a really goosed up week of practice?
I think you expect a goosed up week from coach every week. He's always goosed up, and I think that's the best thing about him. He's not going to change for the opponent or for the new week. He's going to stay, you know, stay honest and wants him to practice hard. And I think the big thing is, you know, that's the first time hearing the news, but you know, with a new head coach or interim, you know, the guy is usually come together and play hard for whoever it is. So we're going to have a tough challenge and one that we need to, you know, get on early and start studying these guys up.
Speaking of Vrabel's juice, we've obviously heard the draft story about working out Will Campbell and he letting him hit him, putting him on his butt, and we've seen him playing safety in training camp and things of that nature. During these game weeks, does he ever rush the passer? Does he ever do drills with you, try to bat down balls? Does he ever do any of that?
Sometimes it's 7-on-7 down in the red zone. He'll come after me as a defensive end to try to work on scramble, go down there. And then recently he's been playing a little bit in pre-practice jog throughs of nose guard on defense for offense. So it's been pretty fun seeing him in there.
I gotta follow that up with, has he ever put himself in at tight end the same way that he used to? I'm sure he hasn't reminded you a million times that he caught all 10 targets that were thrown to him and multiple touchdowns in the NFL.
Yeah, no, he doesn't line up at tight end, but I heard him say the other day that, he ball security very intensely to us, that he never really had to focus on ball security because he was always in the end zone when he caught it.
Drake, I know you mentioned it post-game, praising the fans that traveled to New Orleans. The passion of Boston sports fans, were you aware of what you were coming to when you were drafted? Has it surprised you? Has it been a positive surprise to you? How have you come to know the Boston sports
fans? Obviously, growing up a sports fan, you're kind of aware of the big-time sports cities. And you can see the Red Sox playing for the World Series, and my dad talked about the Celtics and Larry Bird and, the great teams here in Boston and the Bruins, obviously. So I think you see all these great teams and that Boston has, they've had something to cheer for. And I think that's just carried on into the passion every year in, year out. And I think that's what's really cool about the city. And like I said, in the postgame, giving something to cheer for, we continue doing that.
I can give you something to cheer for tonight, Drake, maybe the Atlanta Falcons. Because there's a double Monday Night Football header coming up tonight. And if the Falcons beat the Bills, you are going to wake up in first place in the AFC East. Did you ever think that could potentially happen 6 games into year two?
That's one of the things that Coach, was our goal at the beginning of the year, was win a division. And I think it's a long season. So I think, being tied in the division, can mean something now. But you're not by the end of the year if you start cracking like, hey, kind of, we got to where our goal was. So we got a long season ahead and we got a lot of work to do. But no, I think it would be cool to see that that's in sight and a real possibility.
You mentioned a number of times the end of last year, off season, wanting to win more, need to win more, got to win more. Well, you guys are winning more. Does that create more expectations and pressure, or does it make the work life easier?
I think taking pressure off. Kind of knowing what it takes to, get in the win column and kind of eases the guys, builds confidence, it builds momentum. And I think it's the biggest thing about it is you got to come back and do it the next week, because this is the NFL. It's any given week with these teams and the parity in this league. So you got to bring it every week. And I think that's one of the best things about, winning is what it took last week and how much better we can play and what we left out there we feel like we can do better.
Drake, I think a lot of fans were excited yesterday because a fan favorite, Efton Chisholm, was active yesterday. He was on kickoff duty, didn't make his way into the rotation at wide receiver yet. What have you seen from him in practices, and do you think maybe he'll crack the rotation sooner than later?
Yeah, he just keeps showing up on scout team. He's doing some great stuff on scout team, making plays, making it tough on Marcus Jones and our defense, our defensive backs. So I think he's close on some of those kickoff returns. I told him just to hit it and accelerate once he kind of reaches the threshold of some of the defenders, and he's got a chance to take one back. So it was fun to see him in there and see him get his first real action.
All right, Drake, we're going to try something new here. We want to get to know you a little bit better, the personality, the off-field Drake May. So we thought, what better than questions under the umbrella of may or may not? So we're just going to throw something at you, and if you like it and it's part of your world, it's a may, and if you don't, it's a may not. And this may or may not go well, so we'll see what happens. In the spirit of Halloween, horror movies, may or may not?
Nope, not a fan of horror movies, so may not.
I agree. What's the point of being scared? Life is scary enough, right? Who wants to add the anxiety to your entertainment? All right. Was that okay? You like that? We're going to visit that moving forward, you think?
Is it only one question at least?
Yeah. Well, we may grow. We wanted to dip our toe in the water, see how you handled it. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like it's pretty quick questions. One question seems a little light.
All right, so we'll grow it next week. We had one of your family friends in North Carolina actually called in last week after the interview and suggested sort of an idea of that nature. So we'll see where it goes. But now it's time for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with six New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com. And the quarterback question of the week comes from Doug in Danvers. And Doug said, without getting into specifics from yesterday, what is your general mentality dealing with officiating and perceived bad calls that you have to overcome?
You know, I'm pretty calm with officiating. I think it's part of the game. I think I need to, give it to the refs a little more on some calls that I don't agree with. But I think that's kind of later in my career when you kind of build some notoriety. So early on in my career, I'm just trying to, be nice to the refs and hopefully get to know and get some calls at the end of the day. But I think those calls yesterday, I didn't really notice like what they were calling and when it happened. My eyes are downfield, so you see them back on the tape afterwards, and it's frustrating. But they have a tough job, and I think at some point it becomes a little frustrating. But try to hold emotions in.
It's also hard to go after the referees when you're already in the bench area celebrating the touchdown you think they threw before the 5 minute later flag. Right when you're already in the bench area, it's a little tough.
Exactly. That was one of the latest flags I had ever seen. So we were like, I think I was literally walking off about to sit down.
Yeah, I'll say it for you. It's the worst call I've ever seen. Drake, appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you next week, bud.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Go Pats.
We got to go Pats.
All right.
We got to thank you guys. A go Pats. And I can hear the SMH going on behind the glass because Stiz Grimy, the biggest horror movie fan in the world, now knows his QB1 doesn't like horror movies.
That's all right, though. We got some more person. Great interview, boys. And Drake's really starting to grow on me.
When you're an MVP candidate and you're winning games and you're throwing 3 touchdowns and 50-yard bombs like it's what you do when you roll out of bed. That all helps. But it also helps when we start a new bit and he goes, that's all you got? I thought there'd be more of those. So thank you, Drake. We will add to the may or may not questions next week. Fitzy, get some good ones ready for next Patriots Monday.
The second he said that's all you got, I was like, listen, I can fire 20 at you right now, but you know what? Better to slow play it. I think next week we hit him with like a 6-pack.
Jones and Key, Patriots Monday here on WEEI. We'll get to what happened. Take you around week 6 of the NFL momentarily, but we're joined every Patriots Monday by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by Shaw's and Star Market. Look for the new lower prices every day tags throughout the store to save on the items that you buy most, and by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Hunter Henry, how are we doing this week?
Good, guys.
I read a comment from you, Hunter, after the game last night. These last 2 years have been, quote-unquote, the longest of your life. Why do you feel that way, and how nice is it to be 4-2?
It feels good to be 4-2. They asked me about the last few years, but, it's just good to be where we're at, man. It was a good win yesterday. So, feeling good about just trying to keep stacking them, and, we've got a big game coming up this week.
How does it feel to be a part of an offense that it seems like each week it can be somebody else having a monster game, whether it's you, whether it's Steph Diggs, Kayshon Booty, a couple of touchdowns. Pop Douglas probably should have had a couple of touchdowns, but it seems like a lot of different guys are capable of big games.
Yeah, that's what you want in a good offense, man. Just keeps everybody honest. Can't key in on one guy. We have a ton of talent on offense, man. We're able to spread the ball around, and I think Drake's doing a great job of doing that, too. Spreading it around, guys that have different plays, and they're stepping up when those plays are called and making big time catches and plays and runs and whatever the case may be.
I don't want to get you in trouble. We got to ask about the refs yesterday, though. How late that penalty was on the first OPI to Steph Diggs, where they called back the Pop Douglas second touchdown, I guess. What's the explanation you guys get for how late that is on the field, and what's that like? Because that felt later than anyone I can remember.
It's obviously it's a tough scenario. We found out late, but you have to respond. You have to, get ready for the next play as fast as you can. Obviously, we all ran down and celebrated a touchdown, but just unfortunate that it happened. You know, they made the call and we just responded. But I think the cool thing is, you know, we came back and scored that same drive. So, you know, it's all about responding and continuing to play the game.
Is that something that, you know, anybody, whether it's like Drake or Josh McDaniels or Coach Vrabel, like has to say? Because you just scored a touchdown. Like we all saw it. It felt like it was a touchdown. Long enough time happens where it's like, all right, that should count. It's like, oh, no, it's not. That's not. That's actually a penalty. You're going to go back yards. And somebody say like, because, I mean, you guys went on and had a successful scoring drive. But I feel like all 11 of you couldn't have been thrilled in the huddle after a call like that.
No, everybody was ready to go. Obviously it's us out there. The coaches on the sidelines, we just have to play with what was dealt, man. And, you know, they made a call and we just have to live with it. And it was cool to be able to still go respond and put one in the zone there.
We were just asking Christian Ellis about this, but I've seen that Mike Vrabel, I guess, shows some high school highlights of different players on the team at the end of the week. Yes or no? Has he shown your highlights yet?
He has not.
He has not. Has anybody's highlights individually jumped out in a good or bad way?
We all made it to this level. Everybody's, a pretty good player, and they were obviously really good.
So who specifically? Who jumped out to you? If the answer is
give you that, guys.
Why?
Can't give you that.
You can't give it to us.
Sorry,
secret.
Man.
Like Milton Williams said.
No, man, that's in house stuff, buddy.
Milton Williams said, and he, I guess, revealed in house. You can yell at him if you'd like, but he said that it got a big pop in the room when he looked a little lighter in his high school days, and that got a big reaction.
Yeah, that was funny. There's a few funny ones. We get some coaches too. You know, we have a lot of coaches that played, so some of the coaches kind of get to see some how they were back in the day too.
Yeah, well, you were teammates with one of the coaches, right? Christian Ellis just told us. His highlights.
Kevin Richardson, is that right?
Yeah. Me and K. Rich, we go way back. We're actually the same class at Arkansas. Same hometown. Pretty crazy.
Obviously, you want to win every single game in the NFL, but is there any sense of, hey, Mike Vrabel used to coach Tennessee, they let him go, you're now going to Tennessee to face his former team. Is there any even like more motivation about like winning one for the coach?
I mean, obviously, it's always, I mean, everybody, if you were a place before, you know, you have a little motivation for it, but, I think he's going to keep it the same, man. He's always been the same guy no matter what is going on, so he'll be excited for this one just because it's the next one on the schedule, and it's a AFC opponent on the road, another road game. I mean, this will be our third straight, so tough task for us. We got to go on the road again to get a win, so it'll be a big ask for us.
You guys are 4-2. You've won 3 in a row. You know it's time again for the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise. Surprise!
Henry, touchdown! Whoa!
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise!
Surprise, mother!
Surprise!
We wasted the good surprise on you.
Golly, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, once again, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised you've ever been, 1, you weren't surprised at all. How surprised were you when Ashley Simpson was caught lip-syncing during a performance on Saturday Night Live?
Golly, guys, I don't even know if I remember that.
1 to 85.
Ashley Simpson, 40.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
All right, we'll just know we're keeping track of all of these, Hunter.
I think it ended her career.
On a big board somewhere.
That's
hard to come back from. Yeah. That's true.
I don't even know if I remember that, guys.
All right, well, Hunter Henry, we appreciate the time. Get ready for it again. Next Patriots Monday, we'll look forward to it.
All right, thank you, Hunter. All right,
Hunter Henry.
Let's see. How old was Hunter Henry when that happened?
7.
You were 7? 10.
7!
I think he was 10.
10.
Henry was born in 94. I think that happened in 04.
Yeah, he wasn't a big SNL guy.
That was a big deal, though. Yeah. Then she started dancing weird, remember?
like, what is happening? Like an Irish jig? Isn't that what she did?
When I'm nervous.
Like, oh, no. That's my go-to. She's
singing live.
Is what I do.
Doing it live.
Our go-to every Monday, though, is a recap of the week. What is this?
You're in a theater.
That's a bizarro world intro.
What happened there?
That's not the one I clicked on, but that's the one to play.
That's an old one?
That is the old one.
This is the first time we've done it. What do you mean an old one? Wait a minute. What was that? I was like, I wasn't ready for that. That
was
still
why. I was my heart sank a little bit.
Still sets up, right?
Sure.
You think it counts?
Yeah.
Jones, let's go to London for the Broncos and the Jets.
Hey, what happened?
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. These two teams set the game of football back about 35 years.
Fields avoids the sack until he can't. Jonathan Cooper, the first in.
The Broncos won this game. I put game in quotes, 13-11. So the Broncos are 4-2. Their defense is good. We already knew that. The Jets are now 0-6, 0-17 in their sights. Oh, this is a real box score.
It's on the table, yeah.
Real box score. Justin Fields, 9 of 17 for 45 yards. And he was sacked 9 times.
Yeah.
So he was sacked as many times as he completed passes. He threw for 45 yards.
Keith, you and I think did the exact same thing yesterday.
Net passing was negative 10.
I did.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Net passing was like a record.
Yards lost for sacks, yeah.
Negative 10.
So you and I think had the exact. I didn't watch a ton of this game. I didn't plan on watching a ton of this game. I made the mistake of starting Justin Fields in fantasy, which actually has been okay until this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not great. But you and I had the same exact. I popped on the game and they said Justin Fields has 34 yards passing today. I'm like, what, on the last throw?
This drive?
What are you? 34 yards passing
for
on the day?
I'm like, was he knocked out for a while? Like,
yeah, no, he must not have played.
No, he's played the whole game.
Wow.
Unreal.
Not
just so bad. But also had a chance to win there. My guy Bo Nix did. He's a winner.
He
didn't do much there. And the Jets defense, I guess, played pretty well. But they're 0-6 and they are horrible.
Okay.
They are horrible.
Yeah, I would say. But again, Denver's one of the teams you could be dealing with in the playoff picture. They barely beat that team.
All right, what about the other AFC East opponent that played yesterday? The Miami Dolphins at home against the LA Chargers.
What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. There was a late touchdown by Darren Waller to put the Dolphins up. You're thinking, oh, the Dolphins are gonna find a way to win this game.
But not so fast.
No, not so fast, my friend. Final drive on an absolutely must-have play.
Pressure coming again. Herbert in trouble. Herbert keeps it alive. Completes it to McConkie, who stops on a dime. There he goes. McConkie inside the 20. How did Herbert do it? 42 yards.
Great play by Herbert and McConkie. Maybe even a better play by Ladd McConkie. Made a guy miss, took off down the field. They would end up kicking the game-winning field goal. Chargers beat the Dolphins 29-27. LA 4-2. Dolphins fall to 1-5.
You see Tua after the game?
Yes.
He's like, guys are late to meetings, this and that. We got to work on that. He is actively, and I don't really blame him.
Yeah.
He's trying to get Mike McDaniel fired, which I'm rooting for.
We haven't had a coach fired yet?
Nope.
McDaniel probably.
It's him or Callahan.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn's probably closer.
Than he should be. Sean Gannon. Is it Sean Gannon? I always said that dude's Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah.
Sean Gannon. Jonathan Gannon vaulted up to like the top five after he slapped DeMarcado. They were like, I don't think he gets fired.
I've seen there's a good theory floating around because the Cardinals find him. There's a good theory the Bidwells just wanted to save money. They're like, we're not going to let the league find you. We're fining you.
That's pretty funny.
We want to save some cash.
Take a paycheck from you. All right, next week's opponent, the Tennessee Titans, were on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders.
What happened?
First and goal from the Tennessee 4. This is Genty. He's in. Touchdown. Aston Genty.
23 carries, 75 yards. One touchdown for the Raiders. They get their second win. They beat the Patriots week one. They lost 4 in a row. Then they beat the Titans, who fall to 1-5. I appreciate Christian Ellis, who was just on with us. He said they're going to approach next week's game like they're the best team in the league. Well, newsflash, they are not.
No.
In fact, they might be the worst team in the league.
It's them or the Jets.
It's them and the Jets.
I can't believe one of you guys had them in the playoffs. That's embarrassing.
It was not
it
me.
It really is.
Cam Ward did throw a touchdown, so he did have that. Didn't get
a real one, or did he get kicked in the end zone?
Yeah, that's true. He does have one of those.
Yeah.
Compared to Justin Fields, though, he looked like Tom Brady out there.
He's
so.
Marino, yeah.
All right, we have a division rival, the Browns and the Steelers.
Hey, what happened?
Gainwell in the backfield. Rodgers pump. Rodgers throw. Separation. End zone. Touchdown.
He put it in the bucket.
Steelers win again. They're 4-1. Aaron Rodgers, 2 touchdown passes, including that one to DK Metcalf, who's been a great addition for Pittsburgh. The Browns muster just 3 field goals in the game. They are 1-5. The Dylan Gabriel experience, not exactly lighting the world on fire.
No.
It's a bad team, too.
That was one of those games where it would scroll by every, 5 minutes or so whenever they update in the corner, and you're like, oh, the Steelers are just comfortably all over the Browns. You never saw a highlight from it.
No.
There was nothing to show.
Nothing.
Just like an easy,
boring
the only thing was
cruise
Boswell
control win.
Drilling his foot into the
ground. Oh, I did see that late, actually.
Yeah,
he like sunk into the turf.
So there's that, I guess. Sunday Night Football, you have the Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Detroit Lions.
What happened?
Patrick Cross with a touchdown to Hollywood Brown for the second time in the second half.
Let's not bury the Chiefs yet. Chiefs are 3-3. They just beat the Lions at home. Patrick Mahomes threw 3 touchdowns. Kelce had 6 catches for 78 yards. Now, his receivers I don't like. It's, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster.
But they're about to get Rice back.
Yeah. Xavier Worthy was out there. They're about to get Rice back. Isaiah Pacheco was playing, so they have Pacheco and Hunt. Not that either are great, but they have both those guys as options. And, they held the Detroit Lions to under 100 yards rushing. Jared Goff threw for 203, so they did a good job against one of the better offenses.
I mean, look, if we're going to sit here and say the AFC's wide open for the Patriots,
yeah, the Chiefs,
a team like the Chiefs at 3-3 getting one of the better receivers in the league back in Rashee Rice, I think it's wide open for them too. And Mahomes is individually, we're talking about May MVP candidacy.
Yeah.
He is individually having quite a strong year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big day for Kayshawn Booty in his return to the state of Louisiana. 5 catches, 93 yards, couple of touchdowns. He also sealed the game.
Yeah, he makes some big plays.
That play on the sideline. I mean, Vrabel with the challenge to ensure that you get it down to the 2-minute warning, wind the play clock, and then we're
game's
under
over.
The 2-minute warning, game's over, was a huge challenge by Vrabel, but he can't challenge it if Booty doesn't make the catch and stay inbounds and sneak his little booty inbounds on that play.
Sure did.
And so, he made some big plays, and I feel like he had been quiet for a couple of games. He came out with the huge week one. He had the highlight reel touchdown week two. Then he hadn't really done much. And this was a nice performance out of him to show that there are more guys in that receiver's room. I'd say to a lesser degree, Pop Douglas, I still don't really believe in him. Those feel like more broken plays than anything. But
somebody still has to do it because you wondered how many guys did they have that could score from anywhere on the field. And for many years, they didn't have anybody that could do it. And then you're like, all right, maybe Marcus Jones, like they don't even use. And then you're like, maybe this is what Kyle Williams can be.
Right.
And so you're like, all right, put that to the side. And if Pop Douglas, I'll even give him credit for the other one. He should have had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
If he could do that, I'm surprised, but good. I'll take it.
But those are more like, and I guess we gave Diggs a lot of credit last week against Buffalo like a scramble drill type of play. But that's really more what those are. May's back. He's looking around. Eyes are up. Douglas got a freelance. But maybe that's how you utilize him. Maybe he's not, the quick twitch, jitterbug type of receiver closer to the line. Maybe that's how you use him. He's small. He's only 5'8".
He is a little guy.
That's how you use him.
I thought he might be more of a possession receiver going into the year, but maybe he's not. And when you need a first down, though, they do have multiple guys. And I wouldn't even include him, right? Because like you said, that's more broken play, deep play stuff. But like Steph Diggs, when you need a first down, I would put him obviously at the top of the list. But Kayshawn Booty sort of emerged as the guy that you need a first down, big play, Drake make and trust him. It was clearly his favorite receiver at the end of last year. And part of it was, it's such a down year, such a lost year. how much of this is going to translate into next year. It seems like that connection at least has. And it's not going to be every week. He's not going to have 93 yards, two touchdowns every week. We've already seen it. But the same thing can be said about Steph Diggs. Steph Diggs had 2 weeks in a row over 100 yards. This week he had 3 for 28. But one of them was a significant big play that picked up a first down. So I think, and then even Mac Hollins had a couple. He only had two catches, but felt like one of them was a pretty big grab. So
no, he did. He converted a play. I liked his little celebration after his catches yesterday, too.
They all have good little celebrations.
I like me some Mac Hollins, although yep. I tweeted that in the middle of the game, and then like 2 seconds later, he couldn't reel in a deep bomb from Drake.
That's true. He should have had that one.
But I like Mac Hollins. I like his whole stance.
I like pointing for a first down, letting everybody know you have a first down. That's always acceptable.
Like pulling at your shoulder pads and whatever he was doing. I like all that. Yeah,
whatever it might be.
Let him know. I like the receiver room. I don't think it's great. But I like the receiver room, and, you know, if Booty can come through with games like this every couple of weeks,
yeah,
where he's in the end zone or he's converting big plays, like you said, he doesn't need 93 yards and two touchdowns every week. But if he's coming through and he's reliable, and it seems he's always had good chemistry with Drake May, and if Diggs is going to come along, it was a disappointing game out of Diggs, but we'd look at it a lot differently if he reeled in, or he did reel in, if he wasn't flagged on the 51-yarder up the sideline, and that was a huge conversion.
Oh, it was a huge play. Yeah,
so we'd look at Diggs' day a little bit differently.
But even still, Kayshon Booty, 5 catches on 5 targets. Steph Diggs, 3 catches on 3 targets. Like, those guys were efficient. I mean, Drake May normally is. I mean, his completion percentage is over 70 on the season. But those guys, I mean, when he went to them, they were making plays.
That's true. So one thing that Mike Reese, of all people, wrote about after the game, and it's hour two, Jones and Keith, Patriots Monday. We have what happened coming your way from week 6.
Oh, a lot happened.
Quite a bit. Starting with that early game. We were talking off the air about Justin Fields and the Jets.
Jeepers.
That early game yesterday.
Creepers. What a game that was.
So we'll go around the NFL week 6 coming up at 11:30. Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis also scheduled to join us here on a Patriots Monday. But Mike Reese, of all people, wrote about this after the game. Are the Patriots putting too much on Drake May?
I'm like, plate talk? We're back to the plate?
That is a negative angle, Mike Reese, coming out of the game.
Wow.
I like it. He says the lack of a consistent run game made the Patriots one-dimensional as the offense relied on May's arm and a growing knack for making clutch plays when things break down. The silver lining is that the team's pass protection has improved to the point that airing it out can still be a winning formula. I'll jump in. A texter said, why do you guys never talk about Will Campbell? Will Campbell in the O-line?
Because he's good.
Great again.
No, it's not fair, but it's the truth.
No, it's when you do your job, we don't tend to talk about you too much unless we get asked about it. And then we say, Will Campbell was great. He was running down the field celebrating with his team. Like, he was the first offensive lineman down the field celebrating with teammates.
Stuff.
So Campbell's been great.
No, it really should be like the referees, where referees and offensive linemen, you shouldn't really talk about them much. And then when you do, it's usually a bad sign. But no, I think we try to do every week sort of point out the fact that Drake May has had some time. The run game, which I know we're going to get into, that's been more of an issue. But pass blocking wise, I know Drake May's taken in some sacks, but I would say Will Campbell's been very good. They had some issues early in the season. He and Wilson, and then even throwing the veteran Morgan Moses with the penalties that they had. But overall, I don't know which group is better than what I thought going in, the O-line or the receiver group. Like, we ranked them both pretty low.
So I had higher hopes for the receiver group, which means my answer is I had no expectations for the O-line.
Yeah,
I didn't even think – I wasn't even sure Campbell was a tackle.
Yeah.
And so, look, Campbell and the pass blocking has been very good, but Reese points out – and this again, this is Mike Reese, his glass half empty. In fact, he calls it a glass half empty view – is that the team is playing in the Northeast. They're likely going to need to run the ball later on in the year when the weather turns cold. The Patriots' leading rusher yesterday, Drake May.
Yeah.
That is on total yards, 28, and yards per carry, 3.1.
3.1 yards a carry.
Which I think is going to factor in some kneel downs at the end of the game, so that might be missing.
There.
Say it again.
There's three kneel downs.
Three kneel downs, thank you.
He had one run yesterday that...
The 20-yarder to the
20-yard run. Yep. Was more yards than Ramondre Stevenson had on 13 carries.
Stevenson had 13 carries for 18 yards, 1.5 an attempt. Now, he didn't fumble. He didn't fumble.
Held on to that rock.
Maybe he's real focused on holding on to the rock, which
when
is why
up six he's and not he has explosive. The ball and they're handing it to him. Aren't you terrified?
Yes.
I was terrified.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you're
just going to give him the ball back.
Travion Henderson,
not
he was
any
good,
better.
Good for 3 yards a pop, 9 carries for 27 yards. As a team, 31 carries. 73 yards.
It's nothing.
2.4 a carry.
Eeks.
And
yeah,
and
big, big eeks.
Big time eeks. And as we said last week, New Orleans is a poor run defense. They're a bottom 10 run defense.
Oh, they looked stout
yesterday.
They
really did.
They looked like a milk stout.
So
Reese says you're going to have to win games in crummy weather and win games running the football, and this is now your running back group unless you sign or trade for somebody. I mean, is
no,
it?
It's a surprise.
Is it too much on Drake May to say it's all on you, we can't run the football?
Yeah, I mean, they need to run the ball better. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But Drake May might be up for the challenge, right? Like, not every team has a great running game. And looking at it right now, it's pretty interesting. The teams that yards per carry. First of all, only 8 teams in the NFL run for less than 100 yards per game through 5 or 6 games. They're one of the 8
teams.
You're
telling me
they're one of the 8 teams. And then when you take it one step further and you say yards per carry, there's only 3 teams worse in the whole league. San Francisco, Cincinnati. Cincinnati comically can't run, and without Burrow, they can't do anything. And then the Steelers, which is kind of interesting because they've played pretty well and they're winning games.
They ran wild against the Pats, and then at least their first couple of drives, they ran wild against
the Pats. They don't. I guess the other games, they don't really.
Gainwell
run.
Went nuts in one of those early games.
Yeah, but they're down there 3.4 yards a carry. The Patriots, for a team on the season, 3.5 yards per carry, 91.5 rushing yards. So over the course of a long season, they're going to need more out of that. And what I can't figure out I don't think it's the offensive line. Is it the play calls? Is it the running backs? Like, what's going on? Why are they so ineffective running?
Well, I think, and I was half joking about this earlier, but I wonder if it's part of the reason Vrabel wants to run the football. It's what they did in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if it's part of the reason he's so hesitant to give Josh McDaniels any credit.
He's like, let's get the run going a little bit.
When he's
here.
Asked about it, he's like, well, it's all Drake May. It's not the coaching. Yeah. I would know. It's about the players.
Think about how good the play action would be if they actually could run the ball.
I know you're asking me about Josh McDaniels, but do you know Ashton Grant?
Yeah.
So I think some of it might be he's frustrated they can't run the football. A lot of it is that he didn't pick Josh McDaniels in the first place. He was forced into it. But if you're asking me to identify the issue, I think it's the backs. Which
me too.
I'm surprised at.
I think it's the players.
I think it's not the O-line. We read you the Phil Perry stat a bunch last week. I don't know what the updated numbers are, but they're actually creating at least average yards before contact. They're creating some space, and the backs aren't finding it. So I think it's on Stevenson with the fumbles.
Yeah.
And maybe that's in his head now where he's so conscious of not fumbling that he's not explosive at all. Better than fumbling.
Sure.
But I'd like you to have a couple of runs where, you know, you're averaging more than 2 yards a carry.
Well, I wonder if that's what it is with him. And then with Henderson.
Henderson's been bad.
Yeah.
He has not been anywhere near the draft capital they put in.
He was like the player maybe we were most excited about during preseason. And you're like, all right, this guy, I think I picked him for offensive rookie of the year. He can't go 2 yards down the field without getting tackled.
I said he was going to be their best rookie back since Curtis Martin.
Lawrence Maroney would like a word with you, sir.
Incorrect.
Sonny Michelle would like a conversation. Yeah, that one, that's odd where you're like, all right, you do have a few weeks till the trade deadline. Not that the trade deadline is usually the most active thing in the NFL, but a running back, you probably not going to have to give up a lot for a running back, but could somebody give you a shot in the arm there? Because I think they were happy with the committee. You now remove Antonio Gibson from said committee. And Stevenson and Henderson just haven't had it. Now, I'm not giving up on Henderson like long term or anything, but right now, he's not effective. And then Ramondre's only getting the carries that he is, probably in large part because Henderson is struggling. Did you see the tweet that Andrew Callahan had where he referred to Travion Henderson as
the Madden glitching? Yeah, he was blocking nobody. I did see that.
It was like a little, like a play action rollout to the right, and Drake May was looking for somebody. And Henderson got caught in between whether he should block or run in the route himself. He just slid down the field with his hands off. It was wild.
He got unplugged. The controller got unplugged.
Is he okay? Can somebody let him know what he's doing?
I've never seen, did Morgan Moses false start with no one across from him yesterday? Did you see, you know the play I'm talking about?
No.
Morgan Moses false start.
The guy running in real late?
Yeah, so it was the play where the guy on defense ran in super late.
Yeah, well, that's distracting.
And
get there on time.
There was no one lined up across from him, and he kind of like looked back and jumped. I was like, I don't know that I've ever seen that.
He was a little,
Between the Madden glitch and
glitch was wild.
Morgan Moses, you didn't even need to, you didn't need to do anything. You just stand there. There was no one across from you.
No, but I think we're sort of at a crossroads now with the running backs. Like, I think they need to figure out how to get more production because the line's playing well. The quarterback's playing great. The receivers and tight ends are playing well. So they're kind of standing out in a bad way.
So I was just fact-checking this. Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, both Ohio State. Now, Judkins has his off-field stuff.
He does, but he's been running well.
I thought he got taken after Henderson. That was wrong. He was two picks before.
So right.
If you look at the backs after Travion,
yeah.
R.J. Harvey hasn't done much.
Yeah.
Caleb Johnson has done zero. Tootin, Then Scattaboo. I mean, Scattaboo is the one. And we talked about on Friday.
He's playing well.
But so how do you upgrade that position if you indeed need to upgrade that position? Patriots need to run it better. I think they'd tell you that firsthand. It's Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keith. Every Patriots Monday, we are joined by a member of the Patriots. We have Chris Chanellis, Patriots linebacker, brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by Shaw's and Star Market. You can look for the new lower prices every day tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy most. And by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Chris Chanellis, thanks for joining us again on a Patriots Monday.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how's it feel, Christian, not only to be 4-2, some momentum, winning some consecutive games here, including yesterday in New Orleans, but you're also contributing in a big way, making a key play down the stretch?
Yeah, you know, God is good. Yeah, that's all I can say. God is good. I was able to get an opportunity to punch at the ball, and luckily hit it in the right spot. It came out.
Was that something you guys went into the game? Was there more of a concentration on that in this game? Because it just seemed like from the outside, not just you, but players on the team were going for punch outs more than maybe a typical week.
No, honestly, like, we started practicing it, drilling it a lot more. So it's something that Braves, like, we've always emphasized the entire offseason, but I think it's an area that we need to improve at, like, in just getting the ball out of guys' hands more. And I think we're taking the steps in the right direction.
How do you feel the defense is coming along, Christian?
I think we're doing great. You know, obviously there's areas to clean up. That's every team, every defense has areas that they need to clean up. But for the most part, like, I think we're playing true to our identity. We're flying to the ball. We're having fun. And then, you know, we're making plays when plays need to be made.
You know, it's now six straight games where a running back hasn't gotten to 50 yards individually. Is that even a stat you guys are aware of? Is that something you guys take any kind of pride in?
I wouldn't say that's a stat I've focused on. I think this is our media guys are the first ones to tell me it.
Keys.
No, that's not something I think we focus on. We're more focused on, like, setting our team to win.
I've read, and I think this is Mike Reese who had this. He was talking to Milton Williams, and Milton Williams relayed that Vrabel is showing high school highlights of different players during the week. So has he shown your – it's a two-parter. Has he shown your highlights yet, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Who would you say you've been most impressed by or had the most embarrassing highlights? Like, who's kind of jumped out when you guys have had that experience?
Honestly, it wasn't high school, but I was very impressed by our coach, Kay Rich. He played at Arkansas, so that I was impressed by his highlights. He had some good plays made on the ball, you know, and he had a few nice tackles, and I liked watching that. That was fun. That was good to see.
Nice.
That's pretty good. We also heard some of the post-game audio of Mike Vrabel telling you guys to make sure you celebrate the win. And not just, hey, you know, on to the next one or look at all the different improvements. So do you think as a team you guys were able to do that, at least spend a little bit of time celebrating the win that you did have?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was obviously being on the road, it's a little different. But the flight back was good. This morning was good. We were able to look at the game one more time. And starting tomorrow, we'll head on to next team, you know.
Speaking of that, you guys are going to be heading to Tennessee. What, if anything, has Mike Vrabel relayed to you guys about his time there in the game this weekend?
You know, he hasn't really talked to us about his time there. For us, you know, it's any given Sunday. You can win or lose games. Every week you have to attack it like it's the last week, like it's a playoff week. You never know what the game can entail. If this is the one game that would get us in the playoffs or keep us out of the playoffs, you know, for me personally, I want to treat it like it's the, you know, they're the best team in the league. And that's how I think how the mindset of the team is. It doesn't matter who lines up across from us. We're going to give it our best.
Okay. Christian Ellis, Patriots linebacker, every Monday here on Jones and Keefe. We appreciate the time. Every Patriots Monday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Christian Ellis, thank you. Joining us here. He said the highlights he liked, Keefe. I had to look this up. Kevin Richardson.
Okay. I like a high school highlight tape.
A defensive assistant.
All right.
He played at Arkansas. I'm looking at it.
Obviously, he was pretty good, though.
I'm looking at the bio.
Did he play with Hunter Henry?
He played with Hunter Henry and Dietrich Wise.
How about that?
At Arkansas.
And so his high school tape is legit?
I think he said it
was. Post the clips.
He said it wasn't high school. He said it was Arkansas.
Oh, it was his college
games. For the coaches, anyway.
I like it.
He intercepted Jalen Hurts while he was at Alabama, Keefe.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Sent him packing to Oklahoma. That might have been what did it. That or getting benched in the title game for Tua.
Precisely. Yeah. Look, I get it. I get that Vrabel's not going to talk a lot about Tennessee. You know this game means a ton.
Oh, it means a ton. And I think it's easier to talk about it after the game. And he still may not. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays it off more so than like Steph Diggs when he was like, yeah, so, of course this was a huge game.
I bet to the media he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
What about some of those like post-game breakdowns? There might be something in there.
Yeah, a little bit. I think we have an idea of what it means.
There might be something in there for him. But
Mike Reese pointed out this clip, I guess it was on Get Up this morning, where they were asking Teddy Bruschi about Mike Vrabel's sort of like memory, or does he hold on to things? And he's like, he's still mad at me for picking against the Titans years ago. So like, that's like a friend of his who picked a game like against him, and he remembers that. So how do you think he feels about the team that fired him?
And let's just look at Kayshawn Booty just went back to his home state.
Yeah,
it wasn't even like the Saints were his former team.
Nope.
Diggs played for the Bills, wasn't the only team he played
right.
for. I mean, this is where Vrabel coached, and they moved on. They fired him. So I don't know.
I bet he's super motivated, and I bet the team. I think the team really likes and respects Vrabel quite a bit, so I think they're going to feed into that.
He might not need to say much. They just know.
Right. They already know.
Patriots Monday from Gillette Stadium. Coming up, we'll get to Hill Notes, so plenty of time to leave a voice note on the Patriots win yesterday or any other topic. Do that on the Odyssey app. Very simple. You see the microphone right there in front of your face when you get to the app, and you can talk to your heart's content, and we'll pick the best messages and play those back coming up. Right now, though, Boomer Esiason, brought to you this week by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, look for the new lower prices every day tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy most. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning. Another victory Monday. That's three in a row. And by the way, if the Bills do lose tonight in Atlanta, guess who's in first place?
How about that? Our beloved New England. But by the way, you're going all Ma Bell on us. Did Nor'easter take your communication system out down there or what?
Well, I heard it was your fault. It's not my fault on this end. We are totally up and running right here. This is old school, so that's why it sounds kind of weird. But I will say this. You know, we were talking about the Patriots schedule for the last 3 to 4 weeks, and winning a game in New Orleans doesn't seem like much, but it's a big deal, especially coming off of the big win at Buffalo, showing up, being professional. The quarterback plays great. The defense plays great, even though it's Spencer Rattler, I know. But next week they got Cam Ward. These are games, as Mike Vrabel gets to go back to Tennessee next week, these are games that young teams have got to win. And that's what was so impressive about yesterday's victory against the Saints.
Well, you brought up the quarterback, and then we'll get the Drake take in early this morning, and that is from Boomer and presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Drake May joins Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, and Dan Marino as the only quarterbacks 23 or under to pass for 200-plus yards and have a 100-plus passer rating for 5 consecutive games, Boomer. He is the guy.
Damn, I didn't even do that. Holy mackerel. I know. I think I started when I was 23. But anyway, really impressive. Almost 70% passing. Again, no turnovers. That's the key. He's throwing the ball down the field. I mean, you know, a couple of these throws down the field are really spectacular. And that's, you know, you're getting big plays. You know, he's running with the football. I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more balanced offense, and I'm sure Josh McDaniels would like to see a little bit more balance on the offense, a little bit more running the football, because ultimately when they get to the playoffs later on in the year, in the wintertime, outside, you got to be able to run. So the running game is probably not up to snuff just yet, but I can't say enough about the way the kid's playing. He's absolutely living up to everything that they could have expected him to live up to. And again, as this season started, I said not only was Mike Vrabel the right hire for the team, which was really important, but maybe even more importantly to get the most out of Drake May was the rehiring of Josh McDaniels.
Boomer, the confidence level is there for Drake right now, but he's not cocky after the games. And both Mike Vrabel and Drake said, you know, there's a lot to improve upon after this win. Is the running game the biggest part for you when you look at Drake May's play?
I think what he's talking about is himself. I don't think he's actually talking about his teammates or any of that. I would say personally, just sitting from afar, you know, running the ball for 73 yards and he being about, 30 yards of that. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, you want him to be able to create secondary plays. You want him running for first downs and keeping drives going. All of that stuff is fantastic. What I'm talking about is getting, you know, Henderson, Stevenson, those guys more involved. You'd like to see them rush for about 150 yards a game. You're taking a little bit more pressure off of the young kid, but I think for most people, when you watch young quarterbacks play, what you want to see is clean games. You don't want to see mistakes. You don't want to see interceptions. You don't want to see forced footballs. You may see them when they're behind late in games, but when they are in control of the game, you want you see your young quarterback to be in control. So there's always room for improvement. This game is a game of failure, as we all know. Sometimes the other team wins on a particular play, and sometimes you win on a particular play. But the good thing about the Patriots is that their offense has awoken. And when you think back to their win against Carolina, that win looks a lot better today than it did when they beat Carolina 3 weeks ago because of what Carolina has done the last 2 weeks. So this is a team that's on the rise. There's no question about it. And a lot has to do with, you know, Drake May's ascendancy to one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
Boomer, one of the things that you just talked about is Josh McDaniels. And to me, when I look at Drake May, his pocket presence, his awareness, his ability to make smart decisions, I think is in large part to his relationship with Josh McDaniels. Talk about what it's like to have an offensive coordinator who gives you that type of comfort as a quarterback.
There's no question that when I lost my offensive coordinator way back when in the 80s, he left to go become the head coach of the Jets, unfortunately, for him and me. I lost somebody that knew me better than anybody, somebody that knew the game better than anybody, somebody that could design plays that got the best out of me as a player. You know, he knew what I did well, and he would also get on me in practice if I wasn't practicing well, or he would always quiz me after every practice, before every practice, before every game, the night before the game. I mean, it was constant. He was all over me. And it was somebody that I came to respect because I had a lot of success, you know, underneath him as a coach. And I'm sure that that's the relationship that's being developed right now between Josh and Drake. There's no question about that. And Josh, while his head coaching prowess is sketchy at best, his offensive coordination, there is no question that he's one of the best in the NFL. And there's a calmness, I think, I'm sure, between the two of them during games about, you know, what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. Now, I compare that to what I witnessed yesterday with the Jets, who set offensive football back 50 goddamn years. It was incredible to watch the difference of a second-year quarterback compared to a fifth-year quarterback with an offensive coordinator who's a rookie himself and Tanner Engstrom for the Jets. So there's no question that that relationship is paramount to the success of the quarterback.
Boomer, if I remember correctly, the coordinator you're talking about is Newt Rockne. Is that correct?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty funny there, Greg. I think you're older than I am.
We debated this before. We don't have time for it.
I know.
I think
you guys are almost.
You've been on the air since Cousin Brucey, right?
Wolfman Jack or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Wolfman Jack.
Boomer, I don't know why this still isn't done, but why can't coaches challenge pass interference calls. The call yesterday was so horrifically bad. Everybody watching it seemed, except the people in striped clothes on the field, knew what had gone on. Why is there not a way for the NFL to fix obviously awful PI calls?
You know, it's a really good question, because this game was officiated horrendously yesterday, and I think we all saw that, and it was frustrating for both sides. I mean, really both sides. And I don't know what's going on with the officiating. It seems like each week we get a game like this where I don't know what they're looking at. I don't know what they see. I don't know how many times there are flags being thrown for roughing the passer, too, that where there isn't roughing the passer. I wish they would actually be able to review that. You know, we went down this road before with review of pass interference. It really didn't work out all that well. I mean, you talk about frustrating, and you talk about game stoppage and throwing red flags. I think what they're trying to do is to try to make these decisions as quickly as possible to keep the game moving. They don't want all these different stoppages. They don't want all these different reviews. And I remember Bill Belichick, I think it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, you know, he was advocating for reviewing everything. And that would create probably 3.5 to 4 hour games. And that's the last thing that the TV partners want for the NFL. So I understand the frustration. There's no question about it. But I also understand behind the scenes why it's important to get these games over with and not get bogged down with replays and red flags and redos. And that's why we have that expedited review now that comes out of the press box from somebody we don't even know who's making that call sometimes to the officials.
You know, oftentimes when Steph Diggs is responsible for incidental contact, it's on a boat.
Okay, yes, all right. You can say that for him, not me. I have nothing to do with that.
But speaking of Miami, Tua goes out after that game, basically throws guys under the bus for being late to meetings or not showing up to meetings. What is going on down there?
All right, so that's an indictment of the head coach, unfortunately. You know, I think he's trying to support his head coach, but by doing that, he's also undermining him. And there's a lot to be said about a way a quarterback handles himself after the game. Now, I'm not going to say that I was perfect, but I do remember that after a game, especially after we lost, I had to be careful what I was saying for a number of reasons. Back in the day, everybody's family members were watching either SportsCenter or the local news to find out, you know, what the take was from the coach, from the quarterback, and other players that may have had a mistake or two in the game. So you have to be really, really careful about what you do, and especially in this day and age with social media, because now all of a sudden social media pounces and makes it even worse. So I saw this after the game yesterday, and I was cringing as to what he was saying. I understand his frustration. I understand why he would want to say it, especially when you're losing games the way that they have lost games. But by doing what he did, that wasn't leader-like. That was basically undermining your head coach, which was really unfortunate. I like Mike McDaniel. He's most likely going to get fired, it seems. Where there's smoke, there's fire in this league. And right now, when your quarterback is saying that guys are missing meetings and late to meetings, that is a strong indictment of the lack of respect that the players have for their head coach.
He has to retire the pants too, Mike. Yeah. Like, enough is enough. You can't be losing like that wearing those pants.
Yeah, there's no question.
Does getting Lamar back fix the Ravens?
Not their defense. I mean, their defense is horrendous. You know, they lost their big defensive tackle, Matabuke, and he has really been the linchpin of that defense. They played a little bit better yesterday. I don't know what the heck L.A. was doing. They should have ran through them yesterday, but they didn't. But they still won the game, and that's all that matters from Sean McVay's point of view. But Lamar is a great player. He can camouflage and make up for a lot of misgivings on that football team. I don't think that team thinks that either Cooper Rush or Tyler Huntley are the answer. So it's the same thing with the Jets right now. If you have a quarterback that nobody trusts, that nobody believes in, that can't inspire anybody, you don't have a chance to win in this league. And that's why this league is quarterback-driven. And that's why the Patriots are in a great situation right now. They have a quarterback that everybody in that building believes in, everybody respects. And he's playing like it, and he's also acting like it after the game. Like, he's humble after the game, like you were saying, Courtney. So being that way means that you are going to ingratiate yourself to your teammates, to your coaching staff, and you're going to gain respect. And by gaining that respect, you inspire your teammates. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of that going on in a lot of places in the league. It's not just the Jets. It's not just a number of other places. But, I mean, there's just probably half the league is missing the most important ingredient.
Question of the week for Boomer is presented by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Romo said it at the end of the game. Matty Ryan said it on CBS. So if today were the day that you were naming the MVP, is it Baker Mayfield?
I would feel he's right there. As a matter of fact, I did a Sports Minute on it this morning, so you can check that out later on your radio show. But, yeah, he is. He's fun. He's exciting. We're six games into the season. There are other guys like Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, that will also garner a lot of consideration. But right now, I would say that Baker Mayfield, by the way, it is great to see guys like him and Sam Darnold do what they're doing after they were kicked to the curb by their original teams. So, yeah, I would think that Baker probably has a slight edge in that regard.
All right, I thought you were going to go with Jackson Dot and Cam Skeeterboo out there.
Jermaine, you would love these guys. I swear to God, you would love playing with these guys. This team, the Giants, have been so dead for so long, and these two kids have completely ignited their football team. Now, I don't know how long they're going to last because of the way they play. They're like crash test dummies out there. I mean, they are just lowering their shoulders, lowering their heads. And, you know, I just hope it doesn't end. I hope it's not like a Jeremy Lin New York Knicks situation from years ago where it was a flash in the pan. I think Jackson Dart really does have it. He's got a great arm. He's got great touch. He's got really good accuracy. He runs around. He's just so energetic. And then this Cam Skeeterboo character, I mean, doing backflips after scoring touchdowns, ripping his shirt off. There's a little WWE involved in this. And finally, for the 19 years that I've been here at WFAN, the Giants have got a damn personality, and I love it.
Well, it gives you guys somebody to root for since the Yankees are done. So,
yes,
all right.
You're right. Well, your Red Sox are done, too, by the way.
Yes, I know that. Yeah. All right,
and I'm
Boomer.
A Met fan, too, so I don't take any great joy in that, all right?
I understand. Have a good show, and then get in the boat and head down the highway and head home.
All right, man, nothing better than Victory Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy it.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Patriots beat the Saints on the road 25-19 in the final. Drake May completed 18 of 26 passes for 261 yards and 3 touchdowns while also leading the team in rushing, keeping the ball 9 times for 28 yards. It's a Patriots Monday. We'll be talking Patriots all morning long here on EEI. If you missed Mike Vrabel, you can go listen to that on the Odyssey app. The Chiefs won last night over the Lions, final 30-17. Monday Night Football will see Bills at Falcons at 7:15 and then Bears at Commanders at 8:15. In college football, Penn State fired James Franklin over the weekend after a 3-3 start to their season, and BC got pummeled on Saturday. Clemson beat them 41-10. The Bruins are home for a matinee game today. They have the Lightning at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 1. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got your Hill Notes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.